Hello and welcome to another episode of Tech Enthusiast. I'm Neil.
I'm Simon. And this week, well, there's some big array of stories to cover, really. The one we have to touch on, I feel, is the Alphabet story.
Yeah.
It seemed quite out of nowhere.
It really did, yeah.
I woke up in the morning, it was everywhere.
Yeah.
Mass media, tech news, and I understand we're talking about it now and not actually mentioning what's happened, but... Google is now a subsidiary of the holding company Alphabet, and they're spinning off the other projects into different sections of Alphabet to move them away from the core structure of Google. So, well, there's lots of different theories on why they've done this. The two main interesting theories that I've been reading, and I think I probably believe in them both. The first is for them to be nimble.
Yeah.
You know, big enough to fail, is that really a thing now? But too big to innovate is definitely a thing. You know, you get so big, it's so hard to spin up a small project. And I can remember, when I've been working with Google over the past year, there's been a big shift in language usage. No one was allowed to say moonshot.
All right.
Because it was having such negative connotations in the media and the financial market.
Yeah.
That whenever you mentioned moonshot, or the analysts would groan, going, right, let's devalue Google because they're doing another moonshot. So, yeah, no one actually called the moonshots anymore.
Right.
I can't remember what the terminology change was, but you couldn't say moonshot.
Mm.
So, obviously, I said moonshot about 10 times when I started there. So, yeah, I really care with that. And then the other one, and this one was really interesting due to a conversation I had, I think it was around 10 months ago. And it was one of the guys who consulted with Google X on the self-driving cars.
Right.
And there was having a bit of a group conversation, and someone brought up liability.
Okay.
Who should be responsible if there's an accident?
Right.
And I was like, that's a great question. I was like, what's he going to say? Surely he's going to say, I don't know, the individual or something. And then everybody said, oh, no, the developer.
Right.
I was like, what? I suppose they developed the code. It was a mistake. But now they've spun all these companies off into separate bits. The liability is only on the company that's at fault.
Right.
So if self-driving cars becomes liable, the rest of Alphabet's interests can't be touched. And apparently this is a page out of the Disney book.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Because Disney has something like 87 different organisations under the Disney umbrella. So let's say Disneyland or Disney World Orlando.
Yeah.
I think it's 5 or 6 separate companies.
That seems like a nightmare from an admin point of view.
It is a nightmare, but it's due to liability.
Yeah.
So if there's an issue, only one small part if the company becomes liable for that issue rather than Disney umbrella as a whole. So while the first point is for them to be more nimble and perhaps move away from that corporate label, they've actually moved into the ultimate corporate label by using this umbrella liability system.
See, the theory that I read was that... this way, there's like a CEO of each company, and that way, rather than liability, more responsibility. Because obviously,
they were bleeding execs.
Yeah, and just to have somebody who's the CEO of each individual company, rather than like Sergey and whatnot, right up at the top, being responsible for everything.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of rumors that what's it called? Is it Sergey? God, the CEO of Google now, what's it called? The CEO of Google,
The guy they brought in. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, but apparently the rumour in the valley was that Twitter was courting him. Because they're struggling for a CEO.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. But it has opened up a lot of CEO positions, not going to bleed as many execs when there's some fantastic CEO roles up for jobs.
Yeah.
Although I always thought VP was a pretty cool title to hold anyway.
Yeah.
But I suppose people want that, those three little letters, don't they? CEO. Yeah.
Because then they can be on the board of other companies because they're the CEO of this one, and yeah.
Yeah. Although I've gave up the VP title, didn't he, to move to chief?
Yeah.
Although, well,
I'm sure that was a personal reasons thing.
Well, the woman would spend time with the children, yeah. So if you want to spend time with the kids and you want to step away a little bit,
yeah,
why not? But yeah, I'll tell you what, have you seen her woman's alphabet.com?
Oh, isn't it some like BMW leasing?
BMW business leasing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a few other things like as well. The Twitter handle Alphabet is owned by some little company. And yeah, it just seems bizarre.
Well, yeah, they have abc.xyz, don't they? Is the actual domain for it. So pretty cool domain.
Yeah.
Short domain, which is important nowadays. But yeah, you know, the entire branding philosophy behind it was quite nice as well. So
yeah.
All the different letters, making up language, lots of different companies, making up Alphabet.
Yeah. Did you see the Silicon Valley joke as well within it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the H in the Alphabet being Hooli, which was the Google-like company in the TV show Silicon Valley, which was quite amusing. But then apparently they'd done it with using some kind of embedded hyperlink, and apparently using that type of embedded hyperlink is against Google's terms of service, so they breached their own terms of service to make a joke.
Although apparently they dropped the don't be evil.
Oh, really?
From the manifesto for Alphabet. Well, I'm not sure the idea now is to turn into the biggest evil corporation in the world. It's just not in the manifesto this time around.
It's because Sergey and Paige just want to... They want to buy that volcano. And they want the volcano lair.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's where they're going.
Absolutely. Well, talking about CEOs, Schmidt and Tim Cook are both invested in a really interesting startup. It's a startup that's looking at a new type of showerhead,
right,
to reduce water consumption. And I love any technology like this that takes an everyday task and thinks, how can we make it more efficient? How can we improve it? And apparently the showerhead atomizes the water in the head, so it reduces the water demand massively. So incredible piece of tech. And I think that started on all our favourite website, Kickstarter. And then, Cook and Schmidt came along, and I don't think they're going to worry about Kickstarter anymore now.
No.
They received some massive investment.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay.
Well, hopefully, it didn't delay for 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah.
And it sees light of day, but I'm sure we'll be there funding now.
Did you see the other big water consumption thing with the reservoir in California?
Well, they're all drying up on it. Something to do with that?
Yeah, basically, to try and prevent as much water evaporating.
Oh, is this the shaded balls thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was a really quite an amusing story, just floating loads of balls that had been shaded so that they would prevent the water evaporating in the reservoir.
They've turned to desalination now.
Really?
Yeah, because the drought's so bad. So they've... Bringing online, I can't even remember how expensive it was, but it was a ludicrous amount of money.
It costs a lot of money, doesn't it?
So yeah, they're going to take all the salt out of that salt water and have a ready supply of water.
Right.
Simple. Only in the valley.
Well, yeah. But I thought it was really interesting, just that, like, it's something that would never have even occurred to me, to float a load of... coloured balls on top of the reservoir to try and stop the water evaporating.
Where did they even order?
They just went to every Chuck E. Cheese.
So they didn't go on Alibaba and order 50,000.
And just got all the kiddie pool balls and just floated them on top of the reservoir.
It can't have been easy to get hold of that many balls so quick.
No. And you got the feeling as well, there were specific types of balls. They weren't just...
Tennis balls.
Yeah, or like pool ball balls, but yeah. just absolutely crazy.
Some manufacturing company got a good deal there.
They did, definitely, yeah. So, other stories. Interesting story, I thought, this week about an exoskeleton. And, of course, when you think about exoskeletons, you think...
Aliens,
yeah, exactly. And just a way of increasing capabilities of human beings using exoskeletons. But this exoskeleton was actually being used to decrease the abilities of humans to simulate old age. Really interesting take, just to try and get people to be more aware of what happens to you when you get older. So they got a guy from the Atlantic was testing the suit out,
yeah,
and they got him wearing the suit, and then he was like, well, yeah, this feels fine. And then they started, you know, changing dials and moving things around. He went from being able to walk fairly normally to being really hobbled by it, and, you know, he was struggling to move.
Does it just make it harder to make them, so it's almost like increases your, oh no, it must change,
it's
increase
resistance
on the joints,
yeah,
won't it?
Yeah. But yeah, and it was a really, I mean, when you looked at it, it wasn't like some big crazy suit. It was really free moving. It literally just looked like things that were strapped to his arms rather than like encasing his arms kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, there was a headset as well, and it affected your hearing and your vision.
Wow.
And he was saying at one point, the guy like in control of the all of the settings on the suit said, you know, how can you see? And he went, oh, absolutely fine, there's no problems. And then they twisted this knob and the guy was like, whoa, that was like...
So was he wearing some type of visor?
Yeah, it looked like a VR headset, basically. But the guy wearing the suit went, whoa, that was like instant glaucoma, basically. And he went, yep, that's exactly what it was like. So yeah, unbelievable, just simulating old age to give, and this guy was like in his 20s that was doing it, so he was like, yeah, just really giving me an insight into what it's like to be older. And the guy that designed it all was essentially saying, you know, this, we're using a technology that will be used to aid these people in the future to demonstrate how rough it is for them in the present.
Yeah, it is interesting to see the technology used for what we consider the reversal.
Yeah.
Because when you do, when you say exoskeleton, you think military.
Yeah.
Iron Man.
Yeah.
Increasing strength. And I know over in Japan, they look at exoskeletons to help with care for the elderly.
Yeah.
Moving patients around because they've got quite an elderly population. So, yeah. I think I just want exoskeleton from aliens, personally.
Yeah, yeah. It was just, I found it really, really interesting. Interesting take on the tech and an interesting use. And it was just, it was quite interesting to watch as a video, to watch how badly it affected his movement. Obviously, you couldn't see the, you know, you couldn't see how it affected his vision and his hearing. But, yeah, it was literally just like went from walking normally to really, really laboured movement.
I suppose it's moved more towards using things like Oculus and things like that. This is a great use of that technology, raising awareness.
Yeah.
You know, we see these technologies enhancing common abilities.
Yeah.
But perhaps if we look at them in terms of decreasing capabilities, to highlight the difficulties that a lot of people out there have.
Yeah.
I know for my eye disorder, you can buy the basically plastic glasses with some holes pinned in. Right. That's as advanced as the technology gets to simulate my eye condition. But no, it'd be interesting if someone, you know, took an Oculus,
yeah,
was able to really deteriorate vision, so you can see
yeah,
gradually slipping away.
That, maybe an augmented reality or something like that.
Yeah, you could probably do it in cardboard, to be honest.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, yeah, they've got a development kit. I'm sure if someone sat with cardboard and just gradually removed elements, you could probably knock that out in a few days or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's something R&I, being the awareness charity, should be looking at.
Could
do
be.
Something like that. We'll put it out there. We'll tweet R&IB after this. Have you thought about using Google Cardboard as an awareness?
Yeah, I don't know how easy it'd be to convert the video to the 3D. Like if you've got the camera, so you can see what's in front of you.
Maybe if you just messed with the video stream and just deteriorate the video rather than trying to do anything fancy in 3D.
Yeah.
I think as soon as you start to do something impressive in 3D, it's perhaps when it become a very difficult task.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Because I can't imagine that exoskeleton, the deteriorated vision, did it more intelligently than just adding some noise onto the screen.
Yeah, he said it was. It kind of came in from the side, so it was his peripheral that went first.
So yeah, they'll just add noise.
Yeah,
and then to the point where you're just left with the central vision.
Yeah.
So yeah, just be a low-tech way on a high-tech piece of technology.
Yeah.
More than anything. So what other stories have we found this week, Neil?
There was the Windows 10.
Oh, yeah, I really like this one. Because I just can't stop talking about Windows 10, considering I'm a bit of an Apple fan. But yeah, again, back into the Pi. Although my new Pi is currently broken. Got to return that. But yeah, Windows 10 on the Pi and the... Oh, they call it the Minnow Max, the Intel board. They're making it free.
Yeah.
Which is, it's great. They're really getting that platform out there. It's free to upgrade from Windows 7 and above. Now it's free for sort of the hobbyist community.
That's cool.
And to make embedded systems. Yeah, Windows is really massively increasing its install base on everything.
Yeah.
From embedded to tablets. We'll see if there's going to be a phone, to computers, to the Xbox. Everything's going to be running that, or a version of Windows 10. Because I believe it's a very stripped down version of Windows 10.
Yeah, it's going to be, isn't it?
Yeah, we're not going to have the beautiful GUI and anything. But yeah, I'll probably give it a quick check.
Yeah, it's got to be worth a look, hasn't it?
Well, when something's free, it's always worth having a quick look. Especially with the Pis being so cheap. Because it's disappointing that my Pi was broken on arrival. We think, oh, I'll just get another one, send this one back.
Yeah.
Won't even wait for the return to happen. I'll just buy another one, sell that one back. And then have two, because you can always find a usage for another Pi.
Yeah.
But yeah, the other big thing of the week that I really wanted to talk about is, do you use an ad blocker, Neil?
I don't. I've considered it. I think I installed one, but then I'd stopped using it.
Why did you stop using it?
Don't know. There was a little, because it had like a little icon in the corner that told you how many ads were being blocked on that page.
Yeah.
And there was sometimes it was like as high as like 11 or 12.
On one single page.
On one single page. And I was just like, but it didn't really, I didn't feel like it was improving my experience particularly.
Yeah. I don't want ad blocking anymore. No. And there's good reasons to do it and good reasons not to do ad blocking.
Yeah.
Because if we all blocked ads, there'd be a lot of websites that frankly just cease to function.
Yeah.
That is how people pay the bills. It's how people get revenue.
Yeah.
Without adverts, a lot of the content on the internet wouldn't exist.
PewDiePie would be broke.
Something tells me he makes a lot of money from perhaps one of the proposals to the way internet advertising should go, and that's sponsored content and product placement.
Yeah.
Is that a better platform? Because if I, for example, when I read like a lot of tech websites, and even when they're quite open and say, you know, this is a sponsored article, I'm talking about this product, we were supplied by it, they're giving a genuine review.
Yeah.
And you're more interested in the product, and yeah, do you know what? I'm probably going to buy it.
Yeah.
Whereas if I come across that on a banner ad or some invasive ad, I'm probably not going to buy it.
No.
So I think sponsored content is actually a great direction for advertising.
Yeah.
But then it doesn't lend itself well to all products and all content.
No.
Because how many times could someone, because one of the most invasive ads I'm experienced from is William Hill.
Right.
Which is a betting shop. So how often would I be interested in reading some sponsored content? And I think they're trying to pick up the more casual bet.
Yeah.
Now you're going to bet in this one game, this one horse race. Let's just constantly bombard people with this ad. So yeah, I'm reluctant to use one because I would like to support the websites that are Ebra. At the same time, I find it difficult not to run one with just how invasive some of the ads can be.
Some can be hideous.
To take over the screen. And I've been, the past few days, I've been looking at things which I wouldn't normally look at on the internet. I'm trying to think of a good example. What was I reading today? And it was just something way beyond what I'd normally read. So a lot of my content is generally tech related or athletic related. And I can't even find what I was reading. I know what it was. It was a review of Inside Out.
Oh, right, the movie.
The movie, because I was taking Grayson to see Inside Out, and I was thinking, is he too young to understand this film? But I found a great interview with the director who said they targeted specifically at this age group. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay, fine, I would take him. But I was accessing it on my phone, full screen ad.
Yeah.
But my screen reader couldn't close the ad. So I couldn't actually read the content of the website, and I couldn't close the ad.
Yeah.
So I was left with something that just repeatedly said, image, image,
yeah,
image, image. I'm like, right, now I can't actually use your website.
Yeah.
Because you're using an invasive ad. So I was always of this standpoint, well, I'm not going to use your website again because you're using terrible ads.
Yeah.
And then I read something interesting on 9to5, which, or it could have been IMO, one of those anyway, one of those websites.
Yeah.
And it turns out you don't get to choose what ads run.
No.
You say what type of ad you'd like, but that doesn't necessarily mean those ads are going to be shown. Different ads can slip into the network. So even reputable websites can end up running quite invasive ads.
Yeah.
So then we'll come back to the solution of the sponsored content. But then I was thinking, oh, is there a way to only block the invasive stuff and not all content?
Yeah.
Because then you start looking at whitelists in terms of allow this website, don't allow this website. But then
that becomes a job.
It does become a job. But then even if the good websites can't decide what adverts run,
yeah,
what good is that whitelist, blacklist?
No good.
Turns out there is actually an app that you can block the advertising networks.
Right.
So the networks that are known for running the invasive ads or doing invasive tracking, you can just block that. So then you can look at your favourite websites, support the good sort of internet advertising,
yeah,
and punish the bad internet advertising.
Huh.
And it's called, I think it's called Ghostery.
Right.
So Ghostery. And yeah, you can actually block the bad networks. So I think I'm going to start running that on my Macs.
Right.
And I think they're talking about releasing it on iOS as well, because iOS 9...
Yeah, there's ad blocking in it, isn't it?
Allows content blocking. So that's my tip for this week. If you want to support the free content, but remove the invasive, horrendous tracking ads, you can run Ghostery.
Yeah.
But again, there is that laboursome thing, although there is a database that they run that says these are the, you know, invasive ones.
Yeah.
So you can block all the invasive ones automatically and get rid of all the horrendous content. So yeah, I'm going to move more towards that, I think.
Yeah. Ads are a funny thing anyway. I know there's, I listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of them do commercials on there for companies.
MailChimp.
Yeah, for companies, just so that obviously they pay for the storage fees for the podcast more than anything else.
Yeah.
But I know from some podcasts I listen to, they were talking about it one day that people complained about the fact that they were putting an ad
on free content
on the front of their free content. And it's like, well, seriously, you're getting this for free. You're not prepared to listen to a 30-second ad. And generally when it's on a podcast, it's not a recorded ad by the company. It's just the people that you talking are going to listen to anyway, talking about the product, not even in a serious way a lot of the time. They're having, they're messing about and talking in the way that they normally talk anyway, just mentioning this product. So it's not a big deal.
One of the other ads I always hear is Squarespace.
Squarespace is a big one.
And one of the podcasts I listen to, Reply All, every time they advertise Squarespace, so every week, to show how easy Squarespace is to use, they create a new website.
Really?
Yeah, on Squarespace. Sometimes it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It'll just be because one of them's had a son.
Right.
And the other host hasn't met his son yet. So the website is, has PJ met my son yet? And then just a picture and it says, no. And it says, I'm going to update that to say yes.
Yeah.
As soon as it meets him. So yeah, they have fun with the content. And it comes back to what I was saying initially, sponsored content.
Yeah.
I think works.
Yeah.
It really does. Also, it's just partnering with the right... Because sometimes some of the sponsor content perhaps doesn't make direct sense.
It doesn't. And there's other stuff out there as well now, like Patreon, where you can pay like a couple of dollars a month towards the website. It's like a tip jar almost.
I used to enjoy reading... Can you remember Waiterant?
No.
Oh, it was a massive blog. It was this guy, pretty obvious. It was a waiter. And he used to rant about his day-to-day waiting job. And it was fascinating.
Yeah.
It was honestly just captivating. And he did it really intelligently, kept himself anonymous, changed the name of the restaurant.
Yeah.
And it just became this captivating story. He'd always go back to find out about the horrendous customers or the fantastic customers he'd had that day, you know. It was back when you were getting, I think it was one of the early guys who did a blog to get a book deal.
Right.
And he had a little thing in his corner, donate, to keep the blog running.
Yeah.
And yeah, I used to donate because it was so fascinating. I thought paying $5, considering he brings a bit of joy into my life every day, I'm absolutely going to pay.
Yeah, there's content that I access and I pay, and it's literally like £2 a month that I pay. But it comes out of my bank every month. I don't even notice it because it's £2. And that helps support somebody keep creating content. So, you know, and you get into that thing there, though, when if there's loads of websites doing that you want to contribute towards, it gets a bit much. Like, you know, with all the streaming services and everything else that you sign up to.
Yeah, you end up with so many
monthly payments coming out.
So at the minute I've got Netflix,
iCloud,
Dropbox, Apple Music when it kicks in, paying. Oh, no, I've got another one. I can't remember what it even is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got quite a few. Oh, my VPN.
Yeah, all right, yeah. So then you end up with all these services.
Oh, this. Posting this.
Coming out on a monthly basis that you're just like, right, okay, yeah, actually I've got a lot less money now. But, you know, I mean, you can be picky about it.
The way I saw that is I wasn't doing every month.
Yeah.
I was just doing it now and again.
Yeah.
If I found something particularly entertaining, like, oh, there's a few dollars in the pot. So I think he considered it a tip jar more than a subscription basis.
Yeah.
But, I suppose it's difficult to guarantee revenue when you...
Definitely. And it can be difficult for the people creating it. And I think there's a lot of sites out there that don't want to use ads and would rather a subscription model. But it's a risky business to get into. Cause...
I think the difficulty with it is, let's say you're running a gaming news website.
Like Giant Bomb.
Like Giant Bomb. And you go, okay, we're going to have a subscription.
Yeah.
A lot of readers go, well, I'm just going to go... I get the news for free.
Yeah.
And you just bleed so many readers that you're not going to get the same as you did from ads.
But Giant Bomb is subscription. However, there's two tiers. There's premium content, which you have to be a subscriber to access. Mm. And then there's like the regular access. And like the podcast, if you're a premium member, you can download a version of the podcast that hasn't got the adverts in. But as I just said, the adverts are fun because it's doing it.
I used to enjoy the adverts on Spotify.
Yeah.
When I went to a paid version and lost the adverts, I was like, oh. I used to have like some interesting products now. Now where do I find out about these products?
Yeah.
I'm just going to stop paying. So yeah, I quite like targeted.
Yeah.
Sponsored advertising because I get to find out about things that perhaps I wouldn't anyway. For example, I wear a lot of chinos and somehow Facebook knows this.
Everything.
I don't know how Facebook knows this. And they always advertise Spoke of London chinos to me. And all the time I've wondered if I like a pair of Spoke of London chinos. But I'm on a diet. And there's no way I'm spending that much money on chinos while on a diet. So I'm going to wait till the diet's over and then treat myself to a pair of those chinos. Thanks to Facebook's advertising. Although they do get it wrong because they always try and push that shaving subscription on me as well.
Oh, right.
I can't even remember what that one's called. But yeah, that's definitely not for me.
No.
So that won't be for you either, really. So,
no, I've got far too much facial fuzz.
So, yeah.
Advertising is always a tricky one, and it's a business that probably should evolve very rapidly and probably doesn't evolve as rapidly as it should.
I think that the difficulty on mobile is attention.
Yeah.
We're all focused on services that are minimal attention.
Hmm.
Be it tweets, 140 characters, Vine, 6 seconds. I know I'm naming a lot of Twitter companies here. Vine, that's 6 seconds. Or Instagram, a quick flick of a picture.
Yeah.
So they feel this need to create flashy, invasive content because they know they've got your attention for a minimal amount of time. But perhaps approaching us from the sponsored content or with more intriguing content and advertising would be interesting. I forgot I was on YouTube doing something. What was I looking up? Again, I can't even remember. But it was the same advert that kept running again and again and again. And it was for some beer.
Right.
So not particularly something that would be interesting, but the advert was so good. I watched it every time. I was like, it's a good advert. This is a really good advert. Never even cleared the skip button.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe the requirement is on the agencies and the publishers to create great, intriguing, interesting content. Like, people should be jumping all over cereal.
Yeah.
Well, actually, cereal, can that be advertising? Is that like a public radio thing?
I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you know, content like that, can you imagine? God, you'd love to be in front of something like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah.
I mean, I've started recently using an app for my Android phone called SlideJoy, which basically on your lock screen, there's an advert. And if you swipe right, it opens your phone. If you swipe left, it opens your phone, but opens the advert in a web page so that you can look at the content. And I was like, and you get paid for it, regardless of which way you swipe. You don't get paid a lot.
But like
you get
a penny.
I think basically I started doing it partway through last month and I got £4 I think it was like three quarters of
it. So when you do unlock your phone, probably about 60, 70 times a day.
Yeah, exactly. So you're just unlocking your phone anyway. There's an advert there, and in my head I was like, I'll just ignore it because it's just an advert, isn't it? But then occasionally, because it'll be for absolutely anything. Sometimes it's advertising the latest WWE pay-per-view. Another time it can be advertising, it'll be a BuzzFeed article or that style of article where it's like
top 10,
blah, 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 listicles. And then other times it can just be completely random, weird stuff. But I'd say 99% of the time I'm just like, yeah, whatever, and swiping right. And then there's the odd occasion that I'm about to swipe right and my brain goes, what's that?
They get you in the end.
And it's the worst bit is, I'd love to say it's because it's some really interesting product that somebody's trying to sell to me, but it won't be. It'll be the listicles where it'll be like top 8 ways that you can open a bike lock with an aerosol can or something just really random and bizarre. And I'm like, I'm probably never going to need that information.
5 best ways to peel an egg.
Yeah. That kind of thing.
Why aren't we all creating that content? That's the content that gets the clicks that you can put all the invasive ads on.
there's that question is many layered, but yeah, it's an interesting way of doing it. It's because it doesn't really cause me to do anything that I wasn't going to do anyway. I was going to unlock my phone anyway. I'm getting paid for unlocking my phone.
Yeah,
not a lot. But I'm getting paid something.
But again, they're using that tiny bit of time they have to gain your attention.
Yeah.
And perhaps that would be, well, I would imagine, what's the app called again?
It's called SlideJoy.
Now, SlideJoy, I would imagine the real money is them reporting on what advert Slide left.
Yes.
Because it ain't the product.
No.
It's what was in the advert that caught attention, that was appealing, what was the language usage, colour placement, iconography, and they'll use that to refine adverts for minimum attention. I would imagine that's where the big money is.
Probably,
And whoever come up with the idea of that, I would imagine that would have been the core idea and the big sell.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. So yeah, great idea. It's annoying. It's always, why don't we think of these great ideas? Does my head in. But talking about language usage, that easily slips us into the next news story.
Great segue.
Ooh, I know, good segue. It's all about the segues. I'm sure we've got an interesting thing about it, the new segues as well. The usage of lol is down. Usage of haha is up.
OMG.
I know. I can remember first getting on the internet. I was using ICQ.
What does that stand for?
ICQ. Don't you've heard of it? I can still remember my ICQ unique ID. Because back then you weren't allowed... Well, you could have a username.
Yeah.
But you were identified by a number.
Right.
So I was 1983 193. So okay. if you let's say we wanted to add each other, go, oh Neil, add me, I'm 1983 193. It's real catchy. Rolled off the tongue.
It's almost as good as the Nintendo friend codes that you have. It's got a similar thing.
Alphanumeric as well, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. So, and what was I saying? Oh, so yeah, first got on the internet, chatting away, and someone kept on sending me, they'd like send a message, and then they end put R-O-F-L. I was like, this guy keeps making a lot of typos. What's that? What's Rolf?
Who's Rolf?
Yeah.
And why is he spelling it wrong?
Cannot spell his own name, this guy. What's going on? And it took me ages to understand what that meant.
Yeah.
Because obviously I didn't want to seem brand new. No. And say, what does R-O-F-L mean? Yeah. So... And then it just transitioned into lol eventually.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a shame to see usage of lol.
Is it?
I always saw it as just a funny thing, usage.
Yeah.
Bit of an ironic sort of irony.
Yeah.
In real life, just got lol.
Yeah. As in, that is not worth my time laughing at. Yeah. So I'm just going to say lol.
Yeah, lol. Yeah, funny, lol. Yeah.
I remember once inadvertently saying lol instead of laughing. And it was just the first time it ever happened. It was just like, why on earth did I say that?
Do you know what? We probably touched on the reason there why lol is on the downturn. Because we all begun to use lol sarcastically.
Yeah, possibly.
It's lol.
Yeah.
And you never meant you were laughing. It was a bit of a sarcasm, like, flippant.
When I saw that as well, that lol was on the downturn, people using ha-ha, it was bizarre because I read that and was like, well, yeah, I've been using ha-ha instead of lol for a long time. And it's a bizarre I don't even know why.
I do use lol now and again.
Yeah.
Maybe I do use ha-ha more now. I don't know.
I definitely do.
I'm sure, you know, if we pulled out some... got to be an app that does this, that tells you if you use lol or ha-ha more on Twitter.
Yeah.
If not, someone's made that app since this story broke. Because it was Facebook's research, wasn't it, that showed this to be true. But yeah, language usage over time, it just changes.
It does.
Are we sad to see lol go? A little bit.
I don't really care.
We were the generation that brought lol into usage. And
I never really cared for it, and it was one of those things that I started using because it was so widespread. It was a piece of language that people understood, so I just kind of adopted it.
Do people still use noob?
I think probably in the gaming community, but I don't know. No, I don't think that's anywhere near as widespread. But I think in gaming it'll still be used quite widely.
Yeah. Cause I'm just thinking about now. I probably was using lol at its height between like 2002, 2008.
Yeah.
They were my real lol peak periods.
When you're writing your memoir. The lol years.
A lot of lols between those years.
A lol of lols.
A lol of lols.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's... I don't really... I'm not going to miss it. I've never really cared for it in the first place. But it, like you say, it's interesting how language changes.
I think as time goes on, I don't even use ha-ha, lol or anything on... writing on Facebook and Twitter.
No, it tends to be comments, doesn't it? Rather than an actual... You're more likely...
Oh, like a response with a lol or a ha.
Yeah, yeah. Rather than an actual
Now,
post.
If you put a space in the ha-ha, does it become sarcastic?
See, if I was going to be sarcastic, I'd put hardy ha.
I'll bear that in mind.
Yeah, like hardy ha, you know. That's how it reads in my head.
I think putting a space in makes it sarcastic.
Do you reckon? So,
yeah, ha, ha, rather than ha-ha. That's how I'd read it and interpret it.
Yeah.
So if we get at least one comment on this podcast that says, ha, ha.
Then we're stuffed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we get 10 lols, we're fine. Well, yeah. If it's 10 lols, then obviously we're passé and no longer up to date. Was there anything else in the tech news this week, Neil, that piqued your interest?
No, I think, yeah. I think that's all the stories that interested me properly this week.
Well, yeah, I suppose for me, just waiting for that September the 9th Apple event.
Yeah.
New phone.
Yeah, there's loads of new phones about.
Yeah. Oh, can't believe we haven't talked about it, Neil. How close we were to getting a OnePlus 2 invite.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, we don't have soon.
If the rumour was true that there was 50,000 invites, I was at 50,268.
And I was 50,820-something.
So close.
So close.
So close.
Unbelievable.
Hopefully, it will be second wave, and then we can get our hands... Because I really want a new Android. I want a new Android because I've been talking to a few people today. Apparently, the app developers are starting to tidy up accessibility.
Really?
Yeah. I know I was talking to some engineers at Google because they use this automated testing procedure and you've got to label all the buttons. And I don't know if I mentioned this on a podcast before, but they had a note in the toilets about how they should always label all these buttons.
Right.
But there were numbered buttons for the automated test process.
Right.
And I happened to be having dinner with the guy that made the sign for the toilets.
Right.
So I said, well, why the numbers? I said, because then when the app's made, it means nothing to me.
Yeah.
When I'm cycling through and it says button 79 and 75, I went, oh, it says we do that for the automated testing procedure. I was like, right. Well, why don't you just label them correctly? And then accessibility will work.
Yeah.
So hopefully that little poster in the toilets at Google
has changed.
Has changed.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently it's supposed to be quite good. So yeah, I want an Android phone even more now.
Yeah.
Just to test it out.
Bizarrely, I was having a quick play with accessibility on my phone, my Android phone.
Are you on 5.1?
Well, I'm on Cyanogen mod.
Okay.
But yeah, because my sister asked me about when you receive messages.
Oh, right.
How you read them. And I said, well, the phone reads them too. And I was trying to demonstrate to her exactly how that works. And I went onto Facebook to try and get it to read a post on Facebook. Yeah, it don't work. literally, I highlighted the box that the message was in, but it basically highlighted the entire section. And then when I went to tap on it again to get it to read it, it opened up the comments box.
Yeah. Oh. It's a strange one. It depends if you turned on... I'm delaying, so I can't remember what it's called on Android. But the touch navigation.
Oh, right.
Because you can turn on the screen reader.
Yeah.
And the touch navigation separate, I think. Oh, I haven't used Android in like 4 months, 4 or 5 months, something like that. But yeah, could have been that.
Maybe.
Sometimes the element grouping in Facebook can be a bit strange.
Yeah.
For example, on iOS, it has that issue, but in a slightly different way. It'll get stuck on an element.
Right.
So you can't move on from that element no matter how many times you swipe. You're like, oh,
yeah.
God, stop reading out the same thing. But Twitter works flawlessly.
Oh, cool.
Twitter's great.
That's because Twitter's better than Facebook, personal opinion.
No, it's, well, the reason, actually, because I'm using the native Twitter client, is it does what a few apps do now. And I don't know, I'm impressed with this, but at the same time, I can understand why it irritates some people. But you load up the app, and when you load up the app, it says, it'll flash up a thing that says, oh, you've got accessibility turned on. We will load the accessible version of the app. Click OK. And then boom, it loads the accessible version of the app. But then it raises the question, then am I getting a different experience? Have they removed a lot of the features just to make this work? What's going on exactly? What is different about my version? Or is it just label better? And if the difference is, it's just label better, well, why don't you just make the standard version label better?
Yeah.
What have they changed? I'm not too sure. I keep meaning to ask her what they've actually changed about that, because, what is different? I've no idea. And that's what where the issue lies. Am I getting a different level of a product just because of accessibility?
So
hopefully I'll have that 1+2 soon.
Yeah.
Well, if anything's out in America next week, maybe I'll pick it up in America. Well,
did you see that they were selling the 1+2 in a store in Paris?
Oh, that massive department store?
I think it was like a fashion label or something. They were selling them in the store.
Did you see they're doing pop-ups in Times Square?
I did see the pop-up in Times Square. They did them all over. There was one in London as well.
Was there?
Yeah. They did them all over the world.
Well, if there's a pop-up while I'm there, Neil, I'll buy some for
If it's that simple to buy them.
If it's that simple to buy them, I keep going back with different masks on. There's a lot of people with my name today, mate. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Don't
take the credit card.
It.
It's fine. It's fine.
Don't understand it.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that about wraps it up for the week.
Yeah, I'm sure we ran over our standard 30-minute time.
I've never had a standard 30-minute time.
We did 29 minutes once.
Yes, we did. And then every other one has been way over. we have sorted a little weird something out for listening to the podcast. If you like listening to video, if you like listening to audio in video form, you can now go to YouTube and listen to our podcasts, because that's a thing. People do that.
Yeah, you know, because you can subscribe to the channel.
Yeah.
So then whenever there's a new one posted, it'll just appear, and you can, if YouTube's your preferred destination for accessing media.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily just have to be, you know, video. People like accessing their media through YouTube.
Yeah.
Big YouTube users.
And yeah, and I suppose it's a good way. I know a lot of people at work listen to music through YouTube while they're working at their computer.
The app's so good, you haven't got to install a second app.
Yeah.
It's there, click, boom.
Yeah.
Lock your phone, it works.
Yeah.
I can totally understand how people use it if they don't want to download
the
podcasting app.
Yeah. Other than that, you can go to the website, techenthusiast.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at enthusiasttech. So that wraps it up for this week. We'll be back next week.
Yep, definitely.
So we'll say goodbye. I'm Neil.
I'm Simon.
See you next week.